This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Front second and 11. 5.5 left in the fourth. Taylor is the running back. Purdy going for it all, and it's going to be picked off in the end zone. Darius Williams on an overthrow, and the Rams get the takeaway.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, look, I would be disingenuous if I wasn't going to admit that part of, I think, what happens at a time like this for 49er fans is it makes you question yourself. It makes you question your own opinions. It makes you question the things that you felt before. There is a Brock Purdy conversation to have.
Yeah.
And we'll have it. I'm ready for that. But that's what's hard is you're like, wait a minute. Like, was I a crazy person for the last 2 years? With what we saw? So we'll get to all of it. Here's, by the way, what Kyle Shanahan said with regard to Brock Purdy specifically and the offense. This was last night.
You saw the other quarterback on the other side go through the exact same things in the first half. So I thought Brock made some really good throws in the first half, too. So, you know, from a throwing standpoint, I thought, you know, in those circumstances, I thought we were throwing the ball better in the first half than we were running the ball. I know we got that explosive to Kittle. I think we had a third down to Juwan, I believe, and a couple drops in there, too. So, you know, I think it was a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, I don't disagree with him. I mean, that's why I said earlier, if it's not the Niners this year, if it's not one thing, it's another. When Purdy makes good throws, and he did make some good throws,
yep.
They got dropped. They got dropped. He threw a touchdown pass to Deebo Samuel. He didn't catch it. That was a third down, and it was a tough catch for Juwan, the diving one in the first half. But it's a ball that he has caught and should catch. And then the second half, he just dropped. I mean, my God, this is just a little out route. I mean, you know, he was standing 10 yards from each other, just went right through his hands. We haven't seen Juwan do that this year.
Yep, 5 of 12 for Brock, 46 yards in the second half. And I'm just looking at the notes that I made this morning, and even one of his completions, he got one to Garendo on 1st and 10. It was behind him. Garendo had to dive, actually, just to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2 yards where it probably should have been
bad throw.
8 or 10.
Bad throw,
terrible
no
throw. And then you look at an incomplete to Deebo on 2nd and 20 where he forced it down the field and Garendo was open on the check down. The interception that he threw, he had two guys open on the check down. And the last throw that he made in the game where you're just trying to get a pitch and catch to Pearsall to get something to make that last Hail Mary-ish play plausible, he threw it 5 yards in front of Ricky Pearsall. And
yeah.
Pearsall is open, breaking toward the sideline. It's an easy throw. Let him catch it. Let him run out of bounds. And now you've got, you know, a first down at the 30 or the 35 or whatever it is, and you've got one last chance to, you know, maybe not throw a Hail Mary, but actually run a play
maybe
where the defense will have to honor you. So, yeah, there were drops, and the Deebo drop is one that will forever live in infamy as, you know, the play that might actually be the one that fans will think about when they want Deebo gone. And I wonder what fans really want with Deebo. And this is where I talk about Super Bowl or bust, because you look at the Deebo Samuel situation just in isolation, and fans have turned on Deebo like I never thought they would. And you were there last night.
Yeah.
And I was in the hermetically sealed press box sitting next to Lucas, and he's eating his pasta, and I'm eating my Cubano.
Oh.
And I'm like, did they boo him? And he wipes his mouth, and he's like, I'm not sure. I took a bite of salad, and I'm not sure either. And he got
first off, both of you should probably finish your bite before you have a conversation.
Was no finishing any bite.
I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
Because every time there was an incomplete pass, we had to go get more food. It was a rule.
That's a bad rule.
It was a great rule.
That's like playing the, did you ever play the Roxanne drinking game?
No doubt.
You played that?
Oh, yeah.
Did everybody know?
Roxanne.
Yeah, and the game is that like every time Sting says Roxanne, you have to take a shot of beer.
Oh, boy.
And all he does is say Roxanne 48 million times in that song.
I love the young people. I
so see let's go to Dibs, half of the bag.
shot of beer every time he says Roxanne. And then I think it was like every time the chorus hits or something, then there's an actual shot.
Every time you got to turn on the red light.
Great. Something.
Let's drink.
Something. Yeah. All I know is by the end of the song, you gone. But anyway, I digress.
Yes.
Like, I was in the stands, and I don't know that I would call it an out-and-out boo. It wasn't like Philadelphia and Santa Claus was on the field.
Right.
But it was a very hefty, negative moan. It was a moan that says, it's not just you dropped a pass. If a beloved player, if Justin Jefferson goes over the middle and drops a big ball, the crowd is more like, oh,
right.
Like, oh, man, we had a chance there.
It's more of an exasperation.
This was like a, dude, you tweeted 2 days ago.
Yep.
And now you can't hold on to the ball. Like, it was an angry moan. And
I can't make a play if I don't have the ball.
Well, part of me was really proud of the Niner fan base. Because, like, when I hear that, when I hear 50, 60,000 people collectively have that reaction, I go, oh, you're tapped in. You all know the context here. You don't just understand that Deebo dropped the ball and he's got a Niner jersey on. You're not a casual. You're tapped in. You understand the context of this moment, which was way bigger than the actual moment itself. And so Niner, like that made me feel good, you know, as a Niner fan and somebody who does Niner content and all these things. I was like, oh, okay, Niner fans, but it was heavy. It was a heavy moment, and I know a lot of people who think if he catches that ball, they probably win the game.
You would figure. I mean,
they probably win the game.
You catch that, you go up 10-3, and whoa, a touchdown! Look at them.
Yeah, if you use the end zone last night, you probably win the game.
It seems like it.
You know,
and you know that was not the game-ending miscue, but that's one where you definitely bookmarked it and thought, okay, they got the field goal, they're up 6-3.
Well, it just changes the whole game.
Well, it's a four-point swing
right.
Is what it is.
No, and it makes the Rams probably call plays differently. Like, there's still
it's
plenty
still
of,
early.
It's still early, but it was clear that if somebody got the non-field goal lead, it was like, oh, we're going to need to get a little more aggressive on offense.
Well,
now,
let's just say this. If they score that touchdown and it's 10-3, the Rams do go on a 17-play drive, and they get down to it's 3rd-and-4 at the 5-yard line, and it's a hold, and Bosa actually got something done, and we can get to Bosa later if you want and how ineffective he was in the game. But, you know, the Rams wound up with a 4th-and-goal, and maybe they go about things a little bit differently if they weren't going to settle for 3.
Yeah, they might have gone for it. You're right. Okay, let's get to everybody. And again, the question is just, you know, I was struck by the vibe and the sound and the feel, what fans are feeling like in the stands. Dibs used the word frustrated. I used the word bummed. I just, and I could translate that to just disappointed. I didn't know if the Niners were going to win the Super Bowl this year, but man, I'd have bet a lot of money that wasn't going to be 6-8. Like, holy crap. You got to be kidding me. Jack in the city. Hi, Jack. Thanks for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up? Jack, you there?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
Jack.
We can now.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. Love the show. First off, yeah, I'm super frustrated with the season. This team was just soft, but I am optimistic for next year. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on what we need to do to get back to winning football. I mean, personally for me, I think it starts in the trenches. Our lines were not good this season, and it's really why I think Brock wasn't as good, why McCaffrey and Deebo weren't as effective in the backfield. I mean, we need to get back to bowling people at the line of scrimmage and running the ball. I did not feel that once this year. McKivitz, for starters, has to go. He's awful. We cannot waste any more high picks on these skilled players. Football is won at the line of scrimmage. And I keep thinking back to that Green Bay Packer playoff game at Levi's when Jimmy G was the QB and we ran the ball down their throat. Where is that team? That team is gone. We don't have that anymore. Wow. And that's how we're going to win football games with Brock.
Jack, I love your point, and here's how I'll say it. Thank you, Jack. I don't know what you think, Dibs. When I look around the NFL right now, there's a few teams that stand out for certain things that they do. And the 49ers have, traditionally, you know this. John Lynch has said it. The heartbeat of the team is the defensive line. I don't mind that. That's true. That can be where you start things on defense. But I would adjust, just tweak the thought of the heartbeat of the team. And instead of making it the defensive line, it needs to be the offensive line. Because in today's NFL, it's too much pressure to ask your defense, in my opinion, to lead the way. I don't really buy the idea that defense wins championships. If you mean you need a good defense, I'll buy it. But I think what's going to win the championship this year is the offensive line. Detroit has lost their entire defensive line. Guess what? They don't lose any games. Why? Penei Sewell. They have an unbelievable offensive line. Look what the Philadelphia Eagles do. If it's third and fourth and one, just move the chains now.
Third
first
and three,
down.
Even, same thing.
First down. Yeah. Because, and the Chiefs, too, who people accuse of cheating because the right tackle, false starts on every play, whatever. If the offensive line plays well, you score points. And this is not an excuse for Brock Purdy, but let's admit that he's running for his life this year in ways that he hasn't the last 2 years. I think it's a big factor in the way he's playing.
Well, and it's affected the way he's playing.
Totally.
And that to me is a bigger issue about Brock Purdy and also the coaching and the coaching points therein, because he has been under a lot more duress this year. And yet, last night's a great example where even though he's under duress, he's still trying to make throws that he probably shouldn't, as opposed to taking what is there. And, you know, if you look at the film from last night, the Rams didn't blitz a ton. They didn't have to.
Correct.
They got home with four many, many times. And so if you get home with four and you cover with seven, a lot of the deep throws won't be there. And yet Brock continued to try to force the ball down the field as opposed to taking what the defense was giving him. And that's an issue. And if you look at what they've done in the draft, over the last four drafts, in the top 100 picks that they've had, they've taken one offensive lineman and zero defensive lineman. So you can talk about building in the draft, and they do need to do that, but they haven't done that. They've chosen to go other directions.
Yeah, and maybe that's because they don't want to put rookies there. I don't know. They've had a very, very veteran group. On one end, it's based on Trent Williams. You look at how they attacked the defensive line when they needed somebody new opposite Bosa. They went free agency, not draft. That can work, but I'd argue this offseason, they had a hell of a lot better of a draft than they did a free agency period.
Yes, but they didn't address the defensive line. And they got Dominic Pooney.
Yeah.
But in the draft is, you know, what I was talking about.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, you got Okwuanu, who actually turned out to have a pretty good year, and Evan Anderson was an undrafted street free agent that you got. So you piecemealed it fairly well, but you don't have the real game wrecker. And that's where Javon Hargrave, and you could say he's a bust, but
you
paid him to come in and be that dude. And he got hurt in camp. And I don't think he played a snap this year. So he wasn't able to come in and be that guy.
No. Yeah,
Javon Hargrave.
No, he played 3, 4, 5 games. This happened in the game. It was at least the Rams game when his injuries started. So Hargrave, how many games did he play this year, Grandy? Hargrave,
Javon Hargrave played in 3 games this year.
Games,
so he got hurt week three in LA.
Yeah, that's when that happened. So, but he wasn't good last year. He wasn't horrible, but he was disappointing based on the number they gave him, in my opinion.